Rabbi Motti Posen.
In case anyone hasn't realized yet, I'm not Rav David Gottlieb. It's not a permanent shtick, this, just due to some misunderstandings, he wasn't able to make it. And therefore, I'm here instead. Anyone wants to leave, I fully understand. In fact, I want to leave myself, so don't be embarrassed. We'll try and entertain you for the next 40 minutes, although it won't be what you would have got from him, but we'll try and do a cheap imitation. A little bit about Purim, seeing as Purim's coming up. First thing to know is that there's many mitzvahs we have in Purim. Shlachmonos, Matanis Levyanim, Parashas Zohar, Mishtev, Simcha, Megillah. Now, even though we know Ke'endarais, Tikkun, the Divrei Kabbalah, Ke'endarais, they have a lot of chashivas, these mitzvahs, more than a regular drabonon. In fact, we push away a daraisa and welcome these mitzvahs like Megillah. We have a choice, Mitzvah daraisa or Megillah. Megillah comes first. Of course, you do the daraisa afterwards, but Megillah comes first. These mitzvahs have a lot of chashivas. They're not just regular drabonons, they're much higher drabonons. Still, none of them come to a mitzvah daraisa like Parshas Zohar. Even though we heard last week, it's machloikas if it's daraisa. The Shulchan Aruch paskens, the Rosh Hashanah paskens, daraisa. So, you can't be mechavim for daraisa in case it's not. But we treat it as a daraisa. It's kema avadeh daraisa. So all the mitzvahs of Purim are very choshev, but Parshas Zohar is probably more choshev than all of them put together, because at worst is a drabonah. But Parshas is daraisa, therefore it's important to remember Parshas Zohar is more chomor than the mitzvahs of Purim. I remember the Shiva, the Bocha. You probably can't imagine it, but some Bochum sleep a lot, and he said to me, wake me up for Parshas Zohar. I was laughing, although Krishma is daraisa to everyone, that's okay. Parshas Zohar I should wake you up for. So I woke him up for Krishma and didn't end up well. But you got to remember, the order priority, Krishma, Daraisa, Parshas Zohar, Parshas Daraisa, even though there are Shani Balmo Daraisa, and the Mitzvah of Purim, which are Ke'en Daraisa Tikkun. We lay in the Parshas Zohar Be'etzim once a year. You've got to remember, Amalek, Kuntis Rishon, holds Daraisa at least once a year. Why do we do it now? So Purim is the theme of things. Another reason is, because in the Megillah says, Niskorim V'Nasim, you have to remember and do. Nasim is doing, which means Purim, the Mitzvah of Purim, to do. And Nizgorim is to remember. So the Nizgorim, the Zeicha, comes before the Nas and Mela. We put it the Shabbos before Purim. But Be'etzim, any time during the year, someone missed Parshas Zohar, what do you do? So we lay in it during the year as well. We lay in Parshas Zohar. And as well, the Magvaram gives the Eitzah, which he doesn't like so much. Purim morning, he can listen to the Parsha. Again, we lay in about Amalek. He's not so happy Magvaram, but with the effort, it'll work. Any time you lay in something got to do with Amalek, you could be Eitzah. Although the Eich is Parshas Zohar, the way Chazal instituted it. Lemaisa, if you listen to Parshas Zohar, it's kedai to know what they're saying, because it could be you know it without it. It's fairly simple, most words are fairly simple. Just a few things that the Rishonim already point out. Asher korcha baderech, as many pshatim, Rashi brings down three, as many more. Korcha literally means met, they met you along the way. It is to remember, Poshut translation, korcha baderech. V'izanev b'chor means they killed. And achesholim is the weak ones. Then we say, V'lo yirei elikim, it's machloik as if it's going on Amalek or us. Says, you're very weak. So if you read this straight, means you're very weak. Lemaisa, the Igab Pshah is, is going on a Molech. A Molech will not Yerelikim. The Igab Pshah as well goes on Klal Yisrael, but the Igab Pshah, to remember, Velo Yerelikim goes on a Molech. Then it's fairly simple. At the end, we end off, shouldn't forget. What shouldn't you forget? Either you shouldn't forget what he did, two pshatim, either you shouldn't forget what Amalek did, or you shouldn't forget there's a mitzvah to eradicate Amalek. You remember that mitzvah as well. So two malachim, and what that means. And the more you have in mind, the better. There's a famous story that once the Bacha leaned in Yeshiva by Shem Zalman, and one of the pshatim he didn't even know such a pshat. It was one of the basic pshatim Rashi brings down, and Shem Zalman told him to have to lean again. So if you didn't have kavanah for what it means, you know, it's kedai to have proper kavanah when you're leaning it to know exactly what's going on. Then we come to Purim, introduction to Purim. So much to say about Purim. The Maril points out, as we mentioned a few times, that we know we go round the year, round and round the year goes. It starts with Pesach, which is the birth of Klal Yisrael, through to Shavuot, which is like the Bar Mitzvah. You have Sukkot, which is the Chuppah, getting married, before you have Rosh Hashanah Kippur, to Kapara. It goes round the year, ending with Purim. Purim is the finale, the crux, the end of the whole year. Shmuel Shabingas explains how Purim is to be Masak in the whole year. He used to have a minig. He used to sit by his Purim Seder, there's famous pictures of him, with his kittel, and he used to be Mesakan the whole year. He used to go around, talk about Pesach, sing songs of Pesach, have a cup of wine, moved along, Shavuos, spoke about Shavuos, another cup of wine, and as he went through the meal like that, till he got to Purim, which, if you're still able to drink another cup, you manage to drink one for Purim. But Purim is the idea to be Mesakan the whole year, to bring it to a complete, through Simcha. Anytime we didn't have it, we had Yom Tov, which we didn't properly do the Avodah properly, through the Simcha of Purim, you Mesakan it. But the Maharal points out, you don't just go around the year. Rather, you go around the year like a spiral. Every year, it goes on a higher level. It's the same Purim, but on a higher level, and a higher level. And every time it has more meaning, more understanding to what Purim is. So a little bit of background information, the nace of Purim, how and when exactly it happened. So the first Beis HaMikdash got destroyed in 3338. And we know that the Novi told us 70 years later will be the Gola. 70 years, they waited. And we all know Achashverosh waited 70 years. And from his cheshbon, nothing happened. There was no Pekita, there was no Gola. Everything remained the way it was. He made this Mishnah to celebrate that. What was his mistake? He counted 70 years from the beginning of the Chorban. And Lamaisa, the Novi, meant the Nevuah was there's going to be 70 years from the end of the Chorban, when the whole thing was destroyed, Yerushalayim was completely finished, which was took 3 years. 3 years later, so 70 years from then was 3 years out from Achashverosh's cheshbon. Because his whole Suda was to celebrate the fact that Rabban Shem Kilu forgot about us, and what Rabban Shem said didn't happen. To celebrate that, he made the party. The whole party was to personify this idea that Rabban Shem gave up on you. Oh, there's no Rabban Shem, just the whole thing was over, and there's never going to be a Gola. He took out the Kelim of Beis Mikdash to bring this to reality, to show everyone, here's the Kelim of Beis Mikdash, look, I'm wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, here's the Kelim, it's game over, nothing's happening, there's not going to be a Gola for you. That was the reason why Mordechai was so insistent that no one should go. The whole idea of the party was to show the Rebbein Shem Kilu got it wrong. That going to such a party, to celebrate in such a simcha, shows that something's wrong here. The Kilu the Rebbein Shem didn't keep his promise. But Mela, Mordechai was very upset that people should go. Lemaisa, even though he had made a mistake and the years were out, it was a cheshbon lefida as well. Because it was 70 years from the beginning of the Chorban. And there was some sort of pekita already that night. The Geula started moving, the wheels and the cogs in the wheels started turning, because we know Vashti got killed. Vashti was the last Shiraim of the family of Nebuchadnezzar, which means the whole dynasty of Nebuchadnezzar was over. The whole Churban that Nebuchadnezzar represented had finished. And through her dying and needed a new queen, Esther became the new queen. Her son was Dariovish, which was the next king, and he let the new Beis HaMikdash be built. So ultimately it did really begin on that night of the party. 70 years was when it really began, but the full Geula, as we know it, the new Beis HaMikdash, was only 3 years later. It began, which was 70 years from the end of the Churban. Maybe that was the mistake that Achashverosh had made. Well, it says that she got killed. Oh, right, it's not Mephorosh yet. It's part of the Geula, it's all hidden in the Megillah, maybe that's showing why it's not clearly written. But that was the end of the whole Nebuchadnezzar and the Churban Abayas. But even though the real Gula was only 3 years later, but that was the beginning of the Gula. It's interesting to know as well, on Purim, I remember you ask young people this, and usually get it wrong. You ask people, especially young people, what happened on Purim? And you get all sorts of answers. There was a party, which it wasn't, or Haman got killed, which it wasn't. Nothing really happened on Purim. There was nothing we celebrate on Purim. Purim was finished. The whole thing, they had killed the Eden on, no, the war was on the 13th. Or Shushan on the 14th, they celebrate the next day. Nothing actually happened on Purim. Yud Dalad, nothing happened. And Tezvot for Shushan, there was nothing happened. We say in the Megillah, is Yom HaShenochum O'Yevim. It's the day that we had finished, the whole saga was over. Haman was gone. The enemy was gone. We had killed them all on Yud Gimel. And Yud Dalad was back to business, regular day. The whole idea of the whole story had come to a finish, and it was Yom HaShenochum O'Yevim. Interesting that nothing actually happened then. But the point is that many things like Hanukkah as well, why was the Chofei Kislev? Nothing. The worst part was over, even though the war continued during Hanukkah. But the worst part was over, they lit them in the air, and everything was back to regular. We're celebrating when life comes back to regular. Which means Purim is to celebrate the fact that everything was over, we could just get back to our regular life, Karen Avud Zashem. The actual fact that we killed the Goyim, that we don't make such a simcha about, Yud Gimel's nothing. The idea is the fact that regular life continues and we go back to what we usually do. That's the real simcha of Purim. So we begin the whole 3 days of Purim with Tanis Esther. Why do we fast on Tanis? Really interesting Tanis. Most Tanis is al Kapora. It's interesting. Tanis is more al Zecha, to remember. It's interesting. We fast the whole day al Zecha. So there's different reasons given why we have Tanis Esther. One reason is because we fought Amalek on the Yud Gimel. That's the day we killed Amalek. And when Moshe Rabbeinu went to fight with Amalek as well, after he came on Mitzrayim, it says as well that they fasted all day to show that it doesn't come from our might, from our power. Rather, we had fasted and weakened ourselves. And it came from Tefillah. As a Zecha, that's how we fight Amalek, fight any war. We fast to show that the day of fighting, we don't definitely need our koichas, rather, all comes from Hashemayim. There's other reasons. One reason is because that was the day when they fasted. Esther went to Achashverosh. She had some olai 3 days. It wasn't actually on Yud Gimel Nisan. Adar was really on Pesach. But as a Zecha, just before the whole miracle of Purim, she went to Achashverosh, we put it then. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah asks if that's the reason she should be in Nisan. Yeah, Nochanami. But it's also clear as well how it works out, because the night of the party was Leil Seder. And if the whole thing began on Yud Gimel Nisan, so you've got Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet as well. So Yud Gimel didn't fast all day, because it was only in the middle of the day decided to fast. So the figures don't really work out with that either. But either it wasn't in Adar. So the Rosh Hashanah doesn't like this idea, but the Zecha they bring down is because before the whole story began, they fasted 3 days. Esther as well fasted before she went to Achashverosh. It's another reason as well. Tanis Esther, hence the name Tanis Esther, before she went. Okay, various reasons why we fast in Tanis Esther. One of the mitzvahs we do is Machzor Shekel. You must remember it's a Zecha l'Machzor Shekel. If you think it's a Machzor Shekel, people say this is the Machzor Shekel, could be called Gedusha, and it's going to be the Mikdash. You can't say Machzor Shekel. It's a Zecha to Machzor Shekel. We give half a coin. Says Truma 3 times, people give 3 times, 3 half coins. The problem in England is that we don't have half a pound. There's no change half a pound. 50p is not half a pound. It's just half of a pound becomes 50p. But it hasn't got a shame in America of half a dollar, and it's also half a shekel. There's no change half a pound. The mice is too bad because we don't have any other options. What you do is either you give 3 50p's, or better still, you give a pound, and you say, or 2 pounds, and you say half of each coin is a zeichel masa shekel. So I've got half of this, it's got a shame of a pound, and half of that currency is half a pound. Even though in actual fact it's only 50p. And the last 50p is either matoma, you work out with someone else. People give for their wife, for children, unborn children as well, the minigas to give. People give it on an uber. So therefore there's a need to give all for all of those. Lamaisa, the Gaon says you only need to give one. So if someone gets expensive, they go down the family, or they're not sure, they want to give for an uber, so then you can give only one. Because as well, the Gaon says they give one. So if you yourself, you give 3. But for the children, especially under mitzvahs, you can lechore get away with giving just one. You can't use ma'aseh money because it's a chiv. Any zechiv, kol shuchiv, anybody living in a chulin, any zechiv you can't give. And matonah sevirim as well, you can't use ma'aseh money. It's got to be money which is actually used. I'm not saying that anyway you mechiv give the stocker. When do you give it? Either Purim, Tanis Esther. If you forgot, you can give it a whole chodesh Adar as a zechah to the shkolim. It doesn't definitely need to be Tanis Esther, but the minigas give Tanis Esther. Then we come to Purim. It's interesting, there's many messages you can take out of Purim. But l'chore, the main message we say in Shishan is Yaakov. We say, which refers to, of course, Mordechai. What happened was, when they made the party, Vachashverosh, it was a massive celebration. The entire kingdom had come together to celebrate. And anyone who didn't come, it's got to be crazy not to come. And the full section of people like the Yidden wouldn't have come, there's no shayla, Achashverosh would have probably killed them all out. A whole community had to come to join in the Simcha. And Mordechai seemed to be this crazy, you know, telling them not to go, not to get the party. How could he not go? Ridiculous, what's going to happen? Lamaisa, he saw past it all, he saw much further. He had this sixth sense that only the Gedolim had, and he knew there was the wrong thing to go. And at the time, everyone ridiculed him and said to him, what's going on? Why can't we go to the party? But at the end, we see he was right. And therefore we say, someone who holds on to Hashem, takes faith in Hashem and lives with Hashem, he is the one who will have the last laugh. He's the one he'll never lose out in the long run. Therefore we see Mordechai, in hindsight now we see Mordechai was right. At the time it was hard to understand what was going on. But we see Lamaisa, he was right. And that's the message of Purim. Even though things look bleak, You think that's the end of it, you've got to go, you've got to celebrate. And when it came later, well, Haman with the whole story wanted to kill the Eden, it looked very difficult. But those who hang on, waited to the end, they're the ones in the end that celebrated. And that's the message of Purim. You hold on, you eventually, you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. So that's the introduction to Purim. There's many halachos negeiyot to Purim. Many of them we heard last week, there was a shiur about Purim. Just a few other ones. One halacha brought down, which I think is poshut, we wear Shabbos clothes on Purim. You see sometimes during the day, people change. If you're wearing a costume, it's also it's part of the simcha of the day. But if you're not, you should be wearing Shabbos clothes, because it's a Yom Simcha. As Issa Malacha on Purim, which is not so well known, the Rabbi brings down, we have Issa Malacha. What does it mean, Issa Malacha? It means like Cholamoid. Cholamoid, you can't do anything which is not Tzorech HaMoed. To stand, sit down and start doing whatever, going through different documents, writing things that are not negated to the Yom, just like on Cholamoid, we don't do only to Tzorech HaMoed. So it's on Purim, only things negated to, you want to write a card for Shachmanis, of course you can do that, Tzorech HaYom. But to do other things that are no Shaykhs to Purim, we don't do, we have a minig of Issa Malacha that the Rabbi brings down. Then we come to the midst of Megillah. Or Moshe ben Levi, the Gemara Megillah Daf Talit says, "Chayav od melukas b'gila b'yoyim, lishus b'sib b'alayla, v'lishanoyse b'yoyim." You read it by night, and again in the day. We read Megillah twice, the day and the night. The ik is the day. Someone has a choice. Someone's stuck. You only read it once. The ik is the day. But we read lachatchila the day and the night. Both times is a chiv and a mitzvah to lay Megillah. Just like every other mitzvah, you can't eat before any mitzvah, so to Megillah. In fact, Megillah is much more chomer, the Magen brings down. Normally, you can eat up to a kibbutz, or if it's not something that's kaveh, sugar on, something like fruit, which you can eat even more. By Megillah, we're more machmer, the Mishra brings the Magen Avraham, we don't eat anything. Someone who's a choyla is allowed to have a tima. Someone who's shvach, they're feeling weak, they can have a tima, which means a small amount of food up to kibbutz, or fruit, things like that, which is not mazainus v'amoytzi. That's okay to have for a choyla. Someone who's not a choyla shouldn't eat at all, which is difficult because you got tannis ester, straight into Megillah. You want to make sure, if you can, not to eat. Women who have been, especially been fasting, shvach, they have a din choyla, they can eat a tima, but not too much. They have Megillahs during the day, Baruch Hashem, all through the day, every hour. I was wondering, those people who go to 5, 6 o'clock, they must be starving. Because, you know, we're not eating for Megillah. So if they're a choyla, then avadi, you can. But less than that, you shouldn't be eating for Megillah. It's more chomer than any other mitzvah. More than Adlok's Neiros Chanukah, or other mitzvahs that we know not to eat before. It's more chomer because Pesum and Nissa, like we said, they give more chashivas to the mitzvahs of Purim than any other drabonon. Can their eyes to tikkun. And therefore, we're more careful not to eat before Megillah. Pesum and Nissa is the big Indian of Megillah. Therefore, there are many different halachos negeiyot to Megillah, other, like we said, not eating before. It's meant to be Barov Am. You meant to go to the biggest minyan you can find. Why? Because Pesum Menissa. Here is all the poskim say, Avada, you don't need to leave your minyan kavua. This is where you always daven. But if you have a small minyan or a breakaway minyan, you shouldn't be davening such minyan. Rather, Barov Am, go to the biggest minyan you can to celebrate Purim and the whole nes in the biggest fashion possible. Women have got a chiv Megillah just like men. Children of the age of Bar Mitzvah. On the Bar Mitzvahs, it's interesting. People, probably the day with the most kids in shul is Purim. It's the only time Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan Aruch says don't bring kids to shul because they're going to disturb. And that's the only day they end up seeing the most amount of kids in shul. So the Bialach says, when do you bring kids? What age kids do you bring? I understand. If they're young, they're not in the age of chinuch. If they're old, then of course you bring them. So he says very simple. If it's the sort of child that if you would miss Megillah in shul, you'd arrange for him a Megillah at home. I mean, you'd find someone to lay for him because he has a mitzvah of chinuch. That age is the age you bring. Which is very easy to work out. You know, they're really young, they don't know Megillah, they don't even know they miss Megillah. They don't know what Megillah is, then there's no mitzvah. But if they're sort of age, where if they would miss, you would make a point of finding them a crisp Megillah to hear, that's the age to bring them to shul. Less than that, you can bring them if you don't make any noise. If you make noise, Shachar Hussein, don't bring them, they'll just end up disturbing. Another problem they get to Megillah is Purim morning, probably no one here, but the younger, I remember in Auzabacher, Purim morning, you usually end up with your head in a bucket through Megillah, throwing up, half asleep. So, are you to Megillah like that? As long as you've heard every word, you're Yetza. The problem is, I'm all you doze off. People come, sometimes, there's more alcohol, there's too much alcohol running around their bloodstream, and therefore they come and they're a little bit falling asleep, waking up. So you've got to hear every word. If you're misnamni, it means you're half awake, you're not Yetza. The only time you're misnamni, if someone's half asleep, is Yetza. If you're the guy laning it, so we know that you couldn't have laned if you were asleep. So even if you fell asleep in the middle, on and off, but every word you read, you must be awake for. So if you're not the guy reading, you're misnamni, you're half asleep, you're not Yetza. The Yetza is very simple. If you follow a word, you keep your finger on the place, usually, as long as you get to the end, you know that you must have followed through, and you must have been at least half awake to hear the Megillah. But if you're less than that, you know, Eitan, it's important to point out, people will come for a warning, they're all over the place, they could be the Megillah. As we know, you've got to hear every word, every word's ma'akav. And if you didn't hear anything, you've got to lean it yourself, you lean along, you lean past. You lean past the chazan, that means whatever is up to you, you lean up to there, and past. There's another important halach as well, Mishmar points out, is that you've got to be mashmil aznai. You've got to hear what you're leaning. So if there's a lot of noise, especially if it's homon, you missed the word homon, you want to lean it, you should try and hear it. If you didn't hear it, the answer is saluted because it was loud enough to be heard. That means you said it, it was loud, the sound that came in your mouth was loud enough to be heard. Putting those outside noise that overran that sound that you made. If you said it so quiet that even you couldn't hear in a silent room, if you could hear in a silent room, you should try and hear the word. So if you miss a word, lean it, but try and hear as well the word you're leaning. You should hear what you're leaning. And as they've got to hear every word, which is important to tell women as well, I think most women don't know this, they've got to hear every word and there's noise and they don't know. As a woman last year came back from Megillah, she thinks they missed a word. Big problem. And I'm sure there was a story last year that there was a woman who thought they missed a word. And they got there was a recording, and they listened, they attacked Mr. Wood at 12 o'clock at night, they sat around the car with a ram call, saying anyone who came to this Megillah should come back. They all missed the Megillah. So you've got to make sure men, women, kids, whoever's Mukhim Megillah has got to hear every word, otherwise you may have to rerun through the whole thing. If you have a Hefsek in Megillah, it's more than again private minyanim, there's a Hefsek. Okay, even a public minyan, sometimes it's by a minyan, and someone lit this whole circle of fireworks, and they weren't going off. Kaseda. It took about half an hour until they could continue. So you have a hefsek, what happens? Someone told me they were reading last year in a private house, and there was a baby crying in the middle. The man leaning went upstairs to the kid, gave a bottle, came back down. The whole thing took a few minutes. So any hefsek in Megillah, but only a hefsek that you're not allowed to lean. That means, Lamashal, the classic example of there's a bad smell in the room, it's also to lean. Such a hefsek is a real hefsek. So if you had the hefsek, the time it would take to lay in the whole Megillah, then it's a proper hefsek. But if it's just a hefsek, there's noise or disturbance, that's what you're allowed to read. Punkt is not convenient because there's noise or someone's not in or someone went out, or like the story of the baby crying and the man went upstairs. There's no real din hefsek. Megillah's no problem. You take as long as you like and carry on leaning afterwards. But if there's a hefsek, that's a problem. I was once in Megillah and a pipe burst, as in Israel, and the Bachram were dancing, and suddenly the whole room smelled of. That is a real hefsek. So if that would continue a long time, you've got a problem with hefsek. But general time you have hefsek, it's not a problem, it's not a hakav, and you're allowed to continue reading afterwards.
Your uncle said that a woman had a baby.
Yeah.
That wasn't a hefsek.
Right, that wasn't a hefsek because there's no problem. Unless there was problems, if there was any smells or anything, they couldn't lean, then it would be a problem. But normally, yeah. Normal situation, yeah, she carried on the leaning when she got there, no problem. After Megillah, we say Asheheni, the bracha of Asheheni. The Broch of Asheheni, the Anshe Knesset Gedolah made, we know the classic song of Shoshanas Yaakov. Now Shoshanas Yaakov and Teshuvah Sam is Shin Tov of the Asheheni, it goes through the Aleph Beis, and that's really part of Asheheni. There's no difference in Shoshanas Yaakov and Teshuvah Sam, just we sing it, but really it's straight through part of Asheheni, which you must make sure. Sometimes I get Shoshanas Yaakov and everyone's singing, so you think, oh, this is just the song part. No, it's part of the Tefillah that the Anshe Knesset Gedolah made. Therefore you should make a point, say Asheheni, Shoshanas Yaakov, all the way through to the end. Then we have Lo'idiyah Shekol Koyivecha, that's not part of Asheheni. Lo'idiyah is with the Lamed, it's a completely separate thing. It ends off with Chosam, with the Aleph Stov. Lo'idiyah is a separate part, the Rambam brings it. It's based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Chayav Adam Lo'imah B'Purim, Arurim Kol Agoyim Bruchim Kol Yisrael. Chayav Adam Lo'imah. Now the problem is, this is usually not said. Why is it not said? Because there's many senses throughout generations that changed the version in the Bavli, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Yerushalmi, and the Shulchan Aruch, and all those forms it's changed. And people change it to Arurim Kol Rishonim Bruchim Kol Tzadikim, which of course is not that great to say, because Arishonim could sometimes include Yidden, sometimes even yourself. You've got something you do wrong the whole time, maybe a Rasha, clap at this din, which this one halacha that you've got a problem with, you might be a problem. Therefore we shouldn't say Arurim Kol Rishonim, because it may include Yidden. Which means we separate the Yidden from the Goyim. But Rishonim and Tzadikim, you're not supposed to separate like that. Someone came late to Megillah, Mr. Brochas, very Nagir. The first thing to know is that no mitzvah is a brocha ma'akav. There's no mitzvah, if you miss the brocha, it's a problem. Every mitzvah can be done, whatever it is, lulav, sukkah, matzah, chanukah, every mitzvah can be done without the brochas. Therefore, there's some mitzvahs, the brocha is the mitzvah, like Berachas HaTorah, say that, but a normal mitzvah, where there's a mitzvah, a maisa mitzvah, and where there goes a brocha, never is a brocha ma'akav. I remember the first time I got married, my wife came home about 5 minutes after Megillah, said, whoa, that was a quick Megillah. She knew she came late, she missed the brochas. That's when I told her, no problem, it's important to tell them, you're allowed to miss the brachas. Chaval to miss the brachas. There's no ma'ak of the mitzvah. The best is, if you can, you come a minute late, you say the brachas yourself. Say the brachas yourself, catch up to where the chazan is, and then you can carry on, no problem. But the brachas are never ma'akiv, even though you should hear them. If you miss them, you can always catch them up yourself. Then we come to the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. The main idea of Sudas Purim is through the wine, through the enjoyment of the food. It's Mishabech, Rebbein Shalom. This normally gets forgotten, even though this is the whole integral part of the Sudah. This is the idea behind the Sudah, usually gets forgotten. But that's the idea. To thank Rebbein Shalom, Mishabech him, talk about the Neis Purim, and to go through all the Nisim about Purim, and through that, with the wine and the food, it brings about a Simcha. And with that, you can come to real Hakorah of all the Nisim Rebbein Shalom did. The Ramah brings out that there's a mitzvah to learn before Megillah. I heard the most Ayra Zutayra, Tlim for Sudah, sorry. Ayra Zutayra, there was Kedai to learn. He said, also if you're drinking, the wine, the material hopefully will protect you. There's anything to learn at least a few minutes before you start the Sudah, and to go from I heard the most Ayra straight into the Sudah. As we heard, the Roiv Sudah has to be before Shkia, which again is one of those things that people forget about. Really, you should start your Sudah plenty of time before, and you got to the main bar of your meal, the main course, the main food. By Shkia, to be able to the Ikkah Mitzvah. The Ramal says, if you have it later, could be later to Bechlal, the Mitzvah Sudah Purim. Could I start early and make sure the Ikkah Sudah is B.A.? Oh, the Mishmur brings from the Eli Rabbah, brings from the Shlah, that there's an Indian to have a Purim, a Sudah in the morning. There's many reasons to have a Sudah in the morning. One reason is because you avoid all Shaila. You had your Purim early, your Sudah early, you've had it long before Shkia, you've benched, if you said Alanism as well, you have no Shaila for saying Alanism later. If you forgot Alanism later, there's a Shaila here. You've said it, you said, listen, you know you've had your Sudah, and whatever happens after that, it's all revach. But you've got no problem of eating too late. The other reasons brought as well, because the Sudah, the estimate of Achashev was in the morning, it's a zecher to that Sudah as well. The other reasons as well that they bring down, but the main reason is because if you forget Al Nisim on Purim, is a shell if you have to go back or not. There might be Pascha not, but the Omen Rishonim hold you do so because of that, you could be have missed out the whole miss of Al Nisim on Purim. If you have a Sudah early, especially with less alcohol, you know you've benched, you've said the Al Nisim, you've had your Ikka Sudah long before Shkia, and you've got no shalas at all. In regard to drinking, is a shell of Shinim Mokim. Normally we know you have something in one house, because the next house you've lost your bracha. Hamoitzi and Mazainas, because of Shivas Aminim, has a Cheshivas, you have one house the next house, you don't lose your bracha, you can carry it to the next place. What about wine? Wine comes from grapes, Shivas Aminim. What didn't the Shivas Aminim have? Shivas Aminim is like Mazainas, you go house to house, you retain your old Hagofen and you keep drinking. Or is it like Jahakal, where you lose your bracha? It's Machalik, Sapoiskim here. Some brachas lahakal say if someone does go somewhere else, you can't make a new Hagofen, but it's Kedai to bench every time, even though it sounds weird, you, in a house, you have a girlfriend, move on, next one, wherever you go, to your friend, back and forwards, you're making a lot of brachas, but it's kedai to do that, and each time you bench in your place, to avoid any shayla of sabah brachas. When you have a shayla of sabah brachas, there's no problem being marbin brachas, you're allowed to bench in order to avoid the sabah brachas, you have a sabah brachas, so you have a girlfriend, drink, alagafen, go somewhere else, again, a girlfriend, drink, alagafen. And every time you keep it separate, you have no problem with shinamokim with brachas. There's another shayla, very negir, to Purim, really what's a Purim? There's davening when you're drunk. Many people come to shul and they're davening. The Shulchan says you can't really drink after you had a reverse of wine, which means their wine was much stronger. But after a person is intoxicated somewhat, there's a problem to daven. I see many people do come and daven. The bottom line is, if you're able to hold a conversation with someone respectful, not just someone who you just say anything, someone who you have to concentrate on what you're saying. If you can hold a conversation with such a person, then you've got a din of yochel is palo. Less than that, you can't daven. So if he's on a shul who's less than that, if he davens, bedevet, it works, unless he's completely drunk, shukha koloi, which means he doesn't know what he's doing, then it's a waste of time and he must daven again. But if you're not mam shukha koloi, bedevet, it'll work, but lachatkili, you can't daven such a state. You see someone like that, remind them, you can't daven. Benching is a shayla, lemaisa, the apos will make up by benching. But it's kedai to sober up somewhat towards the end of the meal, to bench a little bit higher than regular states of being drunk, but b'diavad benching is better than tefillah. The mitzvah yoyim, mishlachmonos b'tonos evyoyim, the Chasam Sofer brings down two reasons why we give mishlachmonos. The Trum Sedeshin says, so does Purim, to make sure everyone's got food for Purim. Sometimes people are stuck, you have an honor, you give them food, you know that everyone's got a so does Purim. There's another reason for the Monos Levi, to Ma'a Bereas, make everyone happy, friends. Every time you get something, even though you could be very wealthy, you've got loads of food, you don't need anyone else's, but lemaisa, someone brings you a present, it feels good. That's the second reason to be a marbereus. We spoke in the night, people sometimes cancel out. They call up, you don't give me, I don't give you. If the idea is to ma'abareus, then don't cancel out. Everyone should give each other. People say it's a waste. Okay, it makes everyone feel good. It's ma'abareus, it's a mitzvah zayim. And the more you give, the merrier. And as we heard, Matanis Lev Yonim is even higher than Mishlach Monas, and we give that even more the merrier. But those are the mitzvahs of Purim. The reason why we give two things from Matanis from Mishlach Monas, should be choshev to give two different things. But there's a Rebbe they bring down, the Bach and the Rebbe bring down, connected the two things that Achashverosh gave Esther. He gave as well Mishlach Monas, two presents. He gave her the ring of Haman to sign whatever she wants, and he gave her the base Haman. He gave her the house of Haman as well. Those two things he gave to Esther. The Shaila, how he gave the base Haman, because you can't have a north, anything belongs to Amalek. So how did he give the base Haman? Shaila as well. Discussion on Purim, how he gave the base Haman. But those are the two things he gave to Esther. As a Zeicha to that, we give two Mishlach Monas. You're not Yetzer Mishlach Monas at night, there are Mishlach Monas services to deliver at night. You're not Yetzer at night. Important to know, if they deliver at night, tell me you don't want to deliver at night. There are those that deliver late in the night, more like the early hours of the morning. That could be okay, because when you open your door in the morning and find it on your doorstep, provided it's still there, then you could be the Yetzer, because now it came to you on Purim morning. So even though they put it in your house in the night, it could be, I'm not sure, it could be that that's better. So if someone is doing it at night, they can only do it at night, do it late, put it by the guy's door, the next morning he'll see it, he'll be happy. Simcha b'yom. It could be it's not Yetzer because it's ready, it's Chatzos Kedah. Okay, I'm not sure. But to do it early in the night is definitely not the mitzvah of Mishlach Monos. The Ramah brings down clearly, it has to be done b'yom. Therefore, you do use the Mishlach Monos service, either tell them you want it done in the morning, or make sure to give another one in the morning to someone else to be Yetzer Yekah Mitzvah, and this one will be in the night. No problem, just you wouldn't use Mishlach Monos on that specific one. There's an Indian to give Dafka after Megillah. A few reasons why the Shechion is going on the Mishlach Monos. Also in the Megillah, it says in the Square of the Nasim is to do after the Zecher, Zecher's Parashat Zohar, as we said, also the Megillah, we read the Megillah as well, then the Square, and now's the Nasim, Nasim is afterwards, so you do the Mitzvah, Mashlach Monas afterwards. I'm going to get to Shul, on the way you want to stop off, drop one off. If you can, it's better to do afterwards. If you want to do before, you also Yetzer, but Lechatzchili, you do afterwards. The Rosh Shulchan points out, if the whole idea of Mashlach Monas is the guy should be happy, should feel besimcha, he's got a friend, someone gave him, the idea is to do it on Purim Dafka, not any time during the year. Maybe if the guy only sees it Motzah Purim, it could be one Yetzer. There's a famous story that someone brought Mishlach Monas to Briskarov, and he looked at his watch and said, it's Shein Shkia, I can't take it. So I don't want to take presents after Shkia. So he told me, no, it's not Chaim Volozhin Shkia yet. He said, yeah, you're right, it's not Chaim Volozhin Shkia. And he took Mishlach Monas because it's still not Shkia according to one Shitta. But the Etzem, after Shkia, there's no point in giving it. It's nice, you can give presents whenever you like. Especially to me, I'm always happy. But you can't give the United Mitzvah Mishlach Monas after Shkia. So too.
If he's a
middle student,
why not?
Oh, because he stretches Purim over.
Yeah.
No. Klavalanism will work like Tefillah. Because Tefillah, like Monsa Shabbos, so you could say, you would say in bench even afterwards. But the Etzem, the day of Purim's over. If the guy's drunk, he doesn't see it, he gives his wife or his kids, could be United to either, if it's for him specifically. And he gives his wife or kids, he's not Basimcha. Then it could be Bichlal no Yetzer Mitzvah. They should give it to him. He should be sober. He should be awake. It doesn't go to his wife or kids. It's on Purim. And then he can't miss it properly. You've got to give two different things for Mishlach Monas. It doesn't need to be in Gans and different. The Gemara says two pieces of meat is fine. As this Shmuel, there has to be two different brachas. I don't know where it comes from. I think it's completely wrong. The Gemara is also saying you have two types of meat. Two types of cake, two types of anything. It should be slightly. If you take a long cake and cut it into slices, that's not two different things. It's one thing cut into two or more. It's got to be two slightly different things. So two pieces of chicken. If it's different types of chicken. Chicken, your schnitzel, different things. That's already Yetzer Mitzvah. So two different types of meat, two types of cake, these things, Yetzer Mitzvah. If it's the same idea, if someone gives a bag of jelly beans, every jelly bean is a different color, that's no good. It's got to be two different things somewhat. Different flavor, maybe that is good, but it can't be just the same thing, just a lot of the same thing.
If you give what we call it, those platters with rolled up bread. So the bread is one thing and the salmon is another.
Oh, so by Erev Tavshilin, we say you have a bereka, inside the berekas, whatever, potato, sausage, something like that inside the bereka. But by Erev Tavshilin, then we say it's got a din of two different things, when different Erevin. But by here they point out not, because here it's got to be, it's two things, it looks like a chashivas tim. If it's two things, if it's not a bereka, it's mamish one thing. If it's something on the bread, you could say it's two things, just you put it on for him. That could be better. If it's one thing made of two things, it's got to be something that he feels impressed by. If you go up to someone who's a little bit chashav, or anyone decent, you give him an apple and orange, To him is a joke, I don't need any simcha. But if it's something that he feels good about, it's got to be yechasit to him, relative to what he feels good, then that's okay. Do it in kazayas, do it in brach, do it in whatever you like. As long as it looks important to him. And again, it's got to be the food. I'm only giving these very, very fancy dishes, which is a shayla if you have to tovel it, so we have the evening. You give these fancy dishes and inside, like a few raisins, there's nothing. It's got to be the food, it's a davar choshev, it's got to clap him as a suda, it has to be a suda eat. But two foods that he feels he can eat, and it's got some chashivas to him. So I'll ask me, can you give an older person a bag of nash? To him, he's not doing anything with it. He'll give it to his kids, grandchildren, he's not interested in the nash. So here it could be, if he's bechlad and wants it, to him it's just a joke. It could be an oitzah, I don't know. But it's got to be something that he feels impressed by, something of chashivas. Someone comes to you for a Purim Sudah. So the Gemara says you're allowed to give food. It says two Tanam didn't have money. They had their plates of their food for the Sudah's Purim and they swapped it. So here there's a machlokes, the Mechaber Ramah. If someone eats by you and you give him a plate and he takes chicken and meat and sits down and starts eating, all you eat is a Mishlachmanos. Do you say it's your food? So you eat a Mishlachmanos of it. Or you say no, you never gave him anything. He sat down and made himself very comfortable and took food. Okay, you got a problem with that. But Mishlachmanos says you give him food. Therefore, if someone is eating by you, chab another mitzvah, as he fills his plate up, grab it away, and give it back to him, say, here, shlachmanos, and then you become another mitzvah by handing it to him properly, and that you become another mitzvah on Purim.
Can you give that back to Balabas now?
He do what he likes with it, it's his. Now it's his.
He's giving it to you, now you can give back to Balabas, say, here's my kind of.
Yeah, you could do that. Once it's his, he picks up, he's cleaner, it's his. Now he's allowed to give it like this, says in the Gemara, where they swapped. You can go through the whole day like this, back and forth. The food has got to be ready to eat food, cooked and ready to eat. It shouldn't be something that needs preparation. It's not so negia. Most food people take it open and eat. I'm only going to give people and give raw food, something needs baking, something needs doing a bit better. If it's just to put spread on food, whatever, something like that, open the packet, that's nothing. But if the food is not ready to eat the way it is, then it could be an oita, it should be ready-made food, which is generally the case. We spoke today about tovelin the kli. If you give a glass or metal kli, you've got a shayla putting the food in, taking the food out. If you are doing such a thing, then you should listen to the shiur from last week. Matzah Purim, two things again to Matzah Purim. The first thing is the Ramah brings down there's a mitzvah of Simcha and Tezvav, which is one of the reasons why people drag their sudas on and finish the night of Tezvav, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's still, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, if you do Shalayim, there's no mitzvah Leil Tezayin. The whole reason is because Tezvav is Shulchan Purim, therefore we're marbe the Simcha Vayit on the Tezvav, and we have a bit of Simcha then, someone finishes their sudah early. So he comes to Tezvav, Simcha, wine, meat, whatever you want. It should be a little bit of a Simcha on Tezvav to remember Shulchan Purim, stack a day of Simcha. The biggest riot is day of Simcha is Yosei Tachman. What bigger Simcha can you have than that? So you see, it's a day of Simcha, so you should have a little bit of Simcha Tezvav. Finally, the last halacha, the Taz, brings down, not on Shulchan Aruch, he brings down somewhere else. There's a famous story, the Ramah was Niftan like Ba'imeh, the Ramah was 33, he was Niftan like Ba'imeh, and he said 33 Shavochim are his Levaya. He said 33 things about him. And the person had written down 33 things and he couldn't remember the last one. And someone reminded him, it was famous, this about the Ramah, and this was taken the last one he forgot. The Ramah used to go around Matzah Purim, knocking on all the doors in town, telling everyone, remind them to daven Maariv. People forget, long Suda, people are drunk, you forget daven Maariv. The last halacha to remember for Purim is, don't forget daven Maariv. And if you want to do like the Ramah, remind people to daven Maariv, and you have this chus, mamish going in the derech of the Ramah. Sheikh.
Amen.